You purchase a box of cookies because the label says no trans fats. That means no trans fats, right? Wrong. You buy the chicken labeled 100% natural because you want the best for your family. But up to 15% of that 100% natural chicken is plain old salt water. You select the avocado shampoo because someone said avocado oil can revitalize hair. But there is so little avocado oil in that shampoo, it couldn't revitalize a gnat's whisker. And so today we pause to ask, is there any truth at all in labeling?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 562nd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Acordalia who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. But whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
Producer Carol Stafford on the phones.
Hello, everyone.
And producer Parmalee Taffa on the stories and on the sales, too.
Hello.
Folks, without labels and the laws that govern labeling, you and I would be at the mercy, total mercy, of packagers. And yet, even with the laws meant to reveal, that can instead be used to conceal. And so today we pause to ask, how can we find the truth in a label? Here today to help us out explore this question, we have Michael Adams, the Health Ranger himself from Consumer Wellness Center. Michael, welcome to the Food Chain Radio program.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Consumer Wellness Center, what is that?
It's a nonprofit based in Tucson, Arizona. We're all about educating consumers about how to make healthier choices when it comes to food and nutrition, how to prevent disease, in fact, using medicinal foods, things you can find at the grocery store. And we're also warning consumers about all of the unhealthy additives and chemicals found in mainstream foods.
And you do this through your website, newstarget.com?
That's right. It's all through newstarget.com, where we have over 500,000 readers now.
Mm-hmm.
And people are really having a good time learning about what's really in their food.
Well, you talk about being an independent health journalist. Michael, how does one stay independent? Who pays your way?
Well, what we do is we don't take money from any of the companies that we write about. So if we review a nutritional supplement or a food, we don't take any money from that company, and we don't sell any of those products. We're supported primarily by the sales of our own books and special reports. But most of our content is available online at no charge. So we're about 95% free information, and about 5% pays for our overhead.
Okay, good. Also with us today, we have Bill Mattos, who is with the California Poultry Federation. Bill, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning.
California Poultry Association, you guys must grow chickens in California.
Oh, chickens, turkeys, ducks, squab, game birds, just about everything.
Well, who pays the way for your association?
Our members actually pay dues to Belong and allied members. We also get grants from the government to actually educate members about diseases and health and that type of thing.
Okay, good. Well, with respect to poultry, we recently received a notice via email that about chicken labeling that kind of had me scratching my head. We buy the chickens labeled 100% natural because we want the best for our family, but then we hear that 100% natural chickens could contain up to 15% salt water. Is this true, Bill?
Yes, it is. As of a year ago, USDA allowed chicken companies to pump the chicken with water, salt, carrageenan, and in those days, phosphate. They've since removed phosphates out of the pumped-up chicken, and they're letting them call it 100% natural, which flies in the face of everything we do in California, and we're not very happy about it, so we're fighting that.
Well, in the first place, what are they pumping chickens up with seawater for? I mean,
well,
is there a reason?
The reason is because some of the big supermarkets decided they would like to have this chicken weigh the same in every package, so that they're the way that they process their products in the market would be much easier. So they asked the chicken companies to pump the water up to where every package weighs the same, pump the
You're
chicken.
You're kidding.
So that's exactly
Are you kidding?
What,
Are
no,
you kidding?
I'm telling you the truth. That's exactly what they did. They actually, the big companies decided with all this business that they would pump the chicken and get the packages even. And in the same time they did this, it cost a lot of money and equipment to do it, because they had to have injectors and tumblers and everything to put the water in the chicken. But the amount of money they're making on water completely offsets that.
Yeah.
And
I
we just don't
so.
Believe it's natural. You know, you're 10 years
well,
ago.
Well, that's my next question is, why is a chicken that's pumped up with salt water called 100% natural? I mean, the only way I could see it would be natural is that if somebody drowned it in the Dead Sea or something like that.
Well, the reason, USDA
maybe that would be natural.
They're re-looking at this label right now because we're fighting it at the federal government, as you know. We filed a petition. We also have 40-plus congressmen and women across the nation and most of California Congress members supporting this. They basically decided they were going to do it because this water is natural to them. Salt, they say, is a natural ingredient. Well, our argument is, but they're not natural in chicken. They're not natural items to pump to add 15% of the weight of a chicken and still call it natural. That's their argument so far.
So how does this, what kind of impact does this have on your industry? You represent the poultry industry of California. Aren't there chicken processors out here who are pumping salt water into their chickens?
We have some enhanced chicken that is a frozen product.
Is that what they call it, enhanced?
Enhanced, and it's properly labeled that way. We don't call it fresh and natural. It's labeled that way when you have other things in the chicken. For example, when chicken's marinated, you obviously the consumer knows that there's something else besides mm-hmm. chicken on in the product. Well, what we don't like about it is when we say fresh and natural in California, it is real chicken with nothing added. It's natural, and when we say 100% natural on the package, and it's sitting next to a package in the supermarket that also says that, but that has a 15% water and salt and more ingredients in it, the consumer doesn't read the fine print. Really tiny underneath the print on a package of national brand chicken, you'll see enhanced with up to 15% chicken broth or chicken or salt water or whatever it says, but it's very tiny. And they're just looking at the big word natural. So we think that's fraud, frankly, and we're fighting the federal government on it right now.
So what happens to your industry when consumers find out they're being misled? And it's clearly that's what's being done here. Somebody is
well,
misleading
actually,
consumers.
Well, actually, if we can actually market it, I mean, you could market it, and we do talk about fresh and natural, if they can see the difference, but in so many times they don't see the difference. But our studies show 90% of the consumers in California and throughout the West Coast that we have surveyed in a significant study say that they would not buy the chicken if they knew this it was natural, it was pumped up with water and salt and other ingredients. But they have no idea when they buy it that it is.
Mike Adams is the health ranger and as a writer on these kinds of issues. Does this make sense to you at all?
Well, it's not surprising to me. We often see industry sort of scheming with government to maximize profits in whatever way they can, regardless of the implications for consumers. And, you know, they're trying to squeeze all kinds of ingredients under the natural label or even the organic label in another case. So it's not surprising. And, you know, I agree with your other guest here that it's very deceptive, and we should be fighting this because the integrity of these truly authentic natural foods is at stake. And if consumers can't trust the label, then it's all meaningless.
Bill?
And it also affects, for example, our California industry. We're basically a local industry. Most of our chicken and turkey and those products are distributed on the West Coast. And people know that it's fresh and natural. When they start to hear these stories about natural being, you know, pumped with water, they start to wonder, well, is everybody doing it? And we've got to have a whole educational effort to actually say, no, we're not doing it in our fresh chicken. fresh and natural means fresh and natural. So it's a big thing, and we're just happy that so many congressmen and women in California, Democrats and Republicans, have signed a letter to USDA protesting this, and this is one political issue that is very bipartisan.
So it, in effect, really does destroy the word natural, if it's not natural at all, doesn't it? And by implication, it calls into question your industry.
Exactly. And it does call into question natural. People say, well, what does natural mean? You know, we also had the first organic chicken here in California, Rosie from Petaluma. We fought that in Washington 10, 12 years ago to get that designation. A lot of the national companies didn't want it, but we felt it was only fair. If somebody wants an organic chicken, they should be able to get just that, an organic chicken. If they want a natural chicken, they can get a natural chicken. A free-range chicken, they can get that too. There should be a selection, but we don't have to deceive these people in order to get them to buy it.
There you
They're
go.
They're still buying product.
We're going to take a quick break, right back with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and Bill Matos from California Poultry Federation. Do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, when it gets right down to it, water is natural, and so is salt. So, therefore, the government says, you can pump chickens with 15% salt water and call them 100% natural, even though you might not like to be buying that and paying that kind of money for salt water. It is natural, and the members of the California Poultry Federation are fighting that, and I think our health ranger, Mike Adams, from the Consumer Wellness Center would be fighting that as well. Let's go to a little bit to the history of food labeling. It seems like we really haven't been doing labeling for all that long. You know, growing up, I can remember foods without labels or without ingredients on them. Mike, when did we really start looking at the labels and what's in our foods?
Well, I think it's important to realize that we are fortunate in many ways in this country to have food labeling laws. I mean, there are many, many countries around the world in which there are no requirements to list ingredients at all. So it's kind of a great mystery of what's in the food. But and this started happening in the United States in the 50s, and it just kind of evolved through the 60s and 70s, and it's still evolving today, where, for example, just last year, the FDA required the listing of trans fats. But even with trans fatty acids, there's a lot of deception. So this is a kind of a cat and mouse game between the food producers and government regulators. Now, the food producers just want to sell product, period. And they're going to use whatever loopholes or gimmicks they can on the labels to sell more product. And when it comes to trans fats, one of the gimmicks that's available to food companies right now is this rounding down gimmick, where if they have half a gram of trans fats or less per serving, then they can claim zero trans fats or trans fat free on their label. So you see products on the shelves at grocery stores that say they have no trans fatty acids, when in fact they may have substantial trans fatty acids.
So this is kind of like an ongoing brush war, right? Where one side sets the rules and the other side figures out how to get around them.
That's exactly what it is. There are so many games that the manufacturers can play, too. For example, if they're loading up a food bar with a lot of refined sugars, but they don't want sugar to be the number one ingredient, they can split those sugars among different types of sugars, like sucrose and high fructose corn syrup and corn syrup solid, and so distribute them across the ingredients label, making them appear like they're not the primary ingredient.
Let me go to one labeling law that has been passed but has not been implemented. I think that you know that it has a great it seems to be posing a great threat to industry. So I'd like to ask Bill Matos about it. The law I'm thinking about is mandatory country of origin labeling.
Yes, we don't really get involved too much with that, because in the poultry industry, we're fairly lucky that we don't import any other chicken products or turkey products from outside California. We always have thought it's a good idea to label chickens California grown, for example, and mandate that if any all chickens should be labeled with that label. Would that never flew nationwide because of the commerce clauses, because we think people should know where their chicken and all their poultry comes from, certainly. So the country of origin labeling makes some sense to us, but it doesn't affect our industry.
Mike Adams, mandatory country of origin labeling.
Well, I completely support it, because I think consumers want to know where their food's coming from, not only because of the quality of the food, but also because of the environmental implications. I mean, people are buying beef that's been flown in from New Zealand. They're buying apples from Asia. I mean, why are we burning so much fossil fuel to bring our food to our plates? This is all part of the, you know, the buy local, eat local movement, and I support it.
So those who stand against this whole notion of mandatory country of origin labeling seem to be manufacturers and retailers especially. And I believe the reason they stand against it is that when you don't know, they have the power. You know, for example, when you don't know where the strawberries come from, then they're just strawberries.
Right.
But if you know where the strawberries come from, or if you know where the chicken comes from, then you have the power to make the decision. I don't want chickens from there. I don't want strawberries from there.
That's right. By and large, the food manufacturers really don't want consumers to have more information. They want consumers to have less. Now, I know there are exceptions, like what Bill has been talking about here with chickens labeled as being from California. But for those companies who are making really low-grade processed food, or they're importing food of questionable quality from various places around the world that might be contaminated or might, in fact, have been grown with pesticides that are banned in the United States, those companies don't want consumers to have access to that information. So they argue against these kinds of country of origin labeling laws.
So, Bill, how far has your organization gone toward establishing that idea that these chickens are from California grown?
Well, we put all of our packages, you'll find every company does it a little differently, but we also participate in the California government's California grown program that the Department of Agriculture and the governor have pushed with us. We were very, very strong on that. We think it's very important people know where their food comes from as well. So we put labels on our food. We also passed the law 10 years ago because we were having chicken pump brought into the state and repackaged in manufacturing plants in Los Angeles and putting made in California on the package. Well, that was so deceiving that we passed a law saying you cannot do that on any chicken that's not from the state, and it passed, and we were successful. So we think it's important. We're not very, very successful in saying we think all chicken coming into the state should have big labels saying I'm coming from Arkansas or Alabama. That's never really been something we could do, because the federal government always preempts us on that.
And why does the government preempt you on that?
They say it's a commerce clause issue. It would stop interstate commerce from happening. Well, obviously, because everybody wants to buy local, you know.
Right, right. So, therefore, they have laws against us knowing where the chickens come from.
Yeah, yeah. And the other issue about country of origin, I don't want to get into the whole country of origin thing, but the other issue is, I think government is against it as well overall. They've changed their mind somewhat because so many people came out for it. But it also is that they keep arguing that it's going to hurt our balance of trade, that people will you know, maybe not buy other products, and those countries like China and Russia will get all upset with us, quit buying our chicken and our other products. So that's what I hear on the other side.
So, what Turnabout's fair play, that if we know that our chickens are coming from China and we won't buy them, then China won't buy our chicken.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Yeah, and it does happen. I mean, and I'm not a real trade expert, but it does happen. The other mm-hmm. countries get very aggressive against America when we try to say, hey, we're going to kind of limit what you're producing. And we wouldn't be directly limiting it, but as you know as well as I, with all the issues coming out, for sure no one would buy poultry because of all the issues with bird flu back there, but we don't have a problem with that. But other products, they certainly do.
Well, okay, so the issue then is the government kind of establishes the rules for labeling, and they're trying to protect industry, they're trying to protect commerce, and they're trying to protect the consumers. So sometimes these cross currents don't quite match up, don't quite have the same objectives. So therein lies the competition. You establish rules for labeling, and then you try to figure out ways of working with those rules to get the maximum amount of positioning in, I guess, as it were. And so it's kind of like the evolution of the wine labeling laws, where you have basic appellations and things get very, very strict. Are we going to head in that direction? When we come back, I'd like to talk with our guests about the tricks used in labeling and how we as consumers can learn to see our way past them. And I'd love to hear from you folks out there. The phone number is today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson with Michael Adams today, the Health Ranger from Consumer Wellness Center, and Bill Matos for the California Poultry Association and you. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, some things are 100% natural and other things are organic and some are range-fed and some are cage-free. And do these labels mean anything or are they just being used to deceive us? That's the question today we pose, and we have some great people to pose them to. We have Bill Matos, who's with the California Poultry Federation, and we have Michael Adams from the Consumer Wellness Center, Mr. Health Ranger himself. We're going to go quickly to the phones today, and folks, you can participate as well. Pick up your phone and join us. We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Let's go to Craig. Craig, welcome to The Food Chain.
Yeah, hello, Michael. Good morning. Having a delicious grass-fed hamburger yesterday in the Danville, Alamo area. A question to the your knowledgeable guests is that I've heard that grass-fed beef has about the same amount of omega-3s, say, as wild salmon. I'm wondering if that's really true, and if it is kind of true, why isn't it getting the press like seafood is for those kind of health benefits?
Well, let's go to the health ranger himself, Mike Adams.
So the question is whether the beef has the same amount of omega-3s?
Grass-fed.
No, I don't think that's the case at all. I believe that salmon contains much higher levels of omega-3 fatty acids.
As long as it's wild.
And wild is the only kind I would recommend because of the mercury issues and so on with farm-raised salmon. But no, I think that's inaccurate information, but it's a good question.
What about the other guest? Does he know anything?
Bill?
I can barely hear I think you're talking about grass-fed versus animals.
Right.
Chickens don't eat grass, so that wouldn't be an issue for my industry, and I'm not an expert in the other side. I think your health expert here knows more than I do, but chickens need a little rougher kind of a feed in order to digest it and move it through their system. So the omega-3, though, however, there are some layer industry people in chicken farmers in the layer industry who are feeding them a feed high in omega-3 fatty acids, and it's putting a little more omega-3 into the egg. It will cost you more, but if you read the package, you'll see how much more you're getting.
Yeah, they're feeding them flax seeds, aren't they? I see them. I buy them at the store, those eggs, and
So they feed them flaxseed? Are you getting your money's worth?
I don't know. I could be getting ripped off for all I know, but it looks good on
the
label.
I think if you're really looking for the omega-3, I think, you know, you can definitely get it there, you know, in an egg, but I think you can get it a lot of places. I think eggs are probably better for you for other reasons than that.
Yeah. I don't know, Michael, what have you heard about? You're right in there in the industry. You've heard that about grass-fed beef, right?
Okay, well, no, they're not as good as salmon, as wild salmon, but they're much better than grain-fed beef.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
And in terms of omega-3, by the way, it's a lot easier to just get that by drinking some flax oil or eating some chia seeds.
Mike, just a second. I'm going to try to pick you up here again. Are we now? We have you back. Are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. In terms of getting omega-3 fatty acids into your diet, it's a lot better to just eat them from plants. Get them from flaxseed meal or chia seeds, and don't try to run them through other animals first, because you're really losing most of the omega-3s. I mean, if you feed 100 kilograms of omega-3 fatty acids to chickens, you're not going to get 100 kilograms back in the eggs. Eggs are healthy for other reasons, but I wouldn't buy an egg because of an advertised omega-3 fatty acid source.
Okay, let's go to some of the tricks used let's start with the trans fats. You brought up that an interesting one. One of the things you see now on boxes of processed foods, no trans fats, but that's not necessarily true, right?
Right. It's one of the many tricks used by food companies, and they manipulate the serving size in order to get the amount of trans fatty acids down to half a gram or less. And the FDA has...
So by
really
manipulating the serving size, so what, you know, they have a box of 8 servings, and now they have a box of 32 servings, right?
Exactly. They increase the number of servings in the same package, making the serving size a ridiculously low volume of food. But in doing so, they can get the trans fatty acid number to drop down to 0.5 grams. And then this is where the FDA's funny math comes into play. The FDA rounds 0.5 down to 0, where most normal people would round it up to 1. But not at the FDA. 0.5 equals 0. So they allow companies to claim 0 trans fatty acids or trans fat free. And you see these products all through the grocery store. You can walk around, look at the big labels on the front, the claims where they say, trans fat free, 0 trans fat. You look on the back, guess what? Partially hydrogenated soybean oil, which means it contains trans fatty acids.
Which is about as trans fat as you can get, right?
Yes. In fact, there's a popular brand of vegetable shortening, which is a very large percentage of it is nothing but hydrogenated oils. And on the front label, it claims 0 trans fatty acids.
Okay, how do we look for those things? What are the keys for us to look for?
Key number one is completely ignore all claims on the front of the package.
Okay.
I'm not kidding.
That's like the chickens from from someplace else that claim to be 100% natural, right?
Right. It's a lot more informative to actually read the ingredients label and to know what it means, to know what the ingredients are that you're looking for. If you're trying to avoid heart disease, then you need to be looking out for anything that's partially hydrogenated. If you're trying to avoid cancer, you need to be looking out for sodium nitrite and nitrites and nitrates in the foods. If you're trying to avoid diabetes, look out for any refined sugars or bleached wheat. So there's...
If you're trying to avoid drowning, watch out for chickens with salt water in them, right?
Exactly.
Let's go quickly to Mel, who has a question. Mel, welcome to the food chain.
Hi, Michael. I belong to a lot of organizations for animals, from West Coast Animals to the SPCA. And the scuttle among the people in these organizations is that Clinton signed a bill during his second to last year in office that tuna companies could put dolphin-free on the label, even if they weren't dolphin-free. And I was wondering if your guests heard of that legislation, if it was true.
Good question, Mel. Thank you.
I'll listen on the air.
Okay,
thanks.
Good. So, can tuna companies put dolphin-free on their labels, even if they're not dolphin free? Mike?
Okay, yeah. This has been a very controversial issue, and I believe some companies have been caught making these claims when they weren't substantiated. But it's much bigger than just the tuna and the dolphin issue. I mean, this gets down to organic milk, which, you know, you had a show not long ago,
right,
with the Cornucopia Institute, which is in a lawsuit situation now with Aurora Organic Dairy over claims that their milk is organic. I mean, Cornucopia says it's not organic. So these kinds of...
And the government, incidentally, found that Cornucopia or Aurora was deliberately misleading. So they were deliberately cheating.
They did find that, but then the USDA announced that they refused to enforce their organic standards in this case, saying it falls outside of their jurisdiction.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break. Right back. Food Chain, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone and join us with your questions about labeling.
Hi, folks. How many of you out there love to garden? Wouldn't it be nice to grow some of your own food? Or maybe a flower garden would brighten your day. Well, now you can have the pleasures of gardening without all that effort. You don't need a tractor. You don't need a rototiller. All you need is the Knox Garden Box, a heavily constructed, portable, elevated garden on legs that can virtually change the way you've gardened in the past. The Knox Garden Box can be set up anywhere. Yes, you can place it right on concrete. For those with bad backs, you've got critters and gophers, no space or maybe no dirt. With the Knox Garden Box, the therapy of garden is now the prescription for good mental health. The way to find your fabulous Knox Garden Box is by logging on to knoxgardenbox.com. That's K-N-O-X, gardenbox.com. Or by calling 831-461-9430.
Well, we buy the chickens labeled 100% natural because we want the best for our families. But up to 15% of that 100% natural chicken could be plain old salt water. Bill Matos from the California Poultry Federation, I guess, how do we know if our chicken is coming to us with our 100% natural chicken is pumped up with seawater? Is there a way of looking at the label and knowing?
Yes, and your guest is absolutely right. If consumers would read the label, they'd get a lot more information than they really think when they buy a product. On chicken, they allow this enhanced. They allow the word enhanced, meaning that they pumped it with salt or water or seaweed or some other ingredient. And when the word enhanced is in a very, very tiny font underneath the word 100% natural, usually, or under the name of the chicken. And you need to look at that. The minute you see the word enhanced with up to, and they may deceive you and say up to 15% chicken broth. Chicken broth sounds very good. Well, that's salt and water and other ingredients. It's still salt and water. And we argue health as well. You know, these issues, you know, some people aren't supposed to have as much salt as others, and this pumped up chicken has three times the salt that a normal chicken would, three or four times, and it has more than a bag of potato chips. We're able to show you a chart to where one little piece of boneless, skinless breast pumped with salt water has more salt than a bag of potato chips, and it's outrageous.
Yummy. Michael Adams, the health ranger. One of the things that we're all trying to avoid, of course, is calories. How do they hide calories on a label?
Well, it's easy for them to hide calories by also manipulating serving sizes, like we talked about before.
Mm-hmm. So instead of something having 16 or 8 servings, it now has 32.
Exactly. Same exact product, but now twice as many servings, which, of course, if you do the math, means the calories are cut in half per serving, and that's what goes on the nutrition facts label. But I think most of us have experienced, if we open a bag of chips and we're hungry, we're eating all 32 servings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, generally the case.
Yeah, that could be 1,000 calories in that bag, even though the label says 100 calories per serving or 80 or whatever. So you really have to watch the serving size, because what food companies consider to be a serving is not intuitive to what a consumer would consider a serving. And in America, especially today, in Western society, our serving sizes have undergone inflation. They keep getting bigger and
supersized,
bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you go out to restaurants, look at what they're serving now to consumers. One person's meal is enough to feed a whole family in many other countries. So our eyes are getting bigger all this time. We're eating more.
Okay, let's go quickly to Roger. Roger, welcome to the food chain.
Oh, thank you very much. I got a quick question about sugars and labeling. Is there ways that they can, because I'm really trying to stay away from the high fructose corn syrup and highly processed sugars like that, is there ways that they can disguise that?
Great.
I mean, I know you were talking earlier about splitting the sugars up into different kinds, but specifically high fructose corn syrup, can they disguise that in labeling?
Thank you for the question, Roger.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's no way to really hide high fructose corn syrup, but they can blend it with other refined sugar. So you want to look for sucrose and dextrose, which is another high glycemic ingredient. Is this coming through okay?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a little fuzzy. Hold on for just a sec. Let me see if I can fix you. All right. Now let's try that. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, so again, high fructose corn syrup can't be hidden, but look for other sugars, sucrose or corn syrup solids or just corn syrup. I mean, that's a different ingredient than high fructose corn syrup. Also, look for just fructose.
So what they do is they split up the sugars into a number of different sugars, and then how does that work on the label then? If you were to add up all the sugars, that would be probably at the top of the list, right?
Exactly. That's the way it works. You know, the ingredient that you use the most has to go first in the list, but by splitting it up, they can sort of distribute it around the list and make it look like it's not the primary additive to the food.
So they can use a whole bunch of different kinds of sugars in little smaller quantities, put them on the labels as way down on the list, so you really don't see it. And they could say low on sugar or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And what some companies do, too, is they combine it with chemical sweeteners, the artificial sweeteners. So they use less sugar, but there are still three or four different types of sugar combined with chemical sweeteners somewhere else on the label.
Do chemical sweeteners have no calories?
Mostly they have no calories because the serving size is so small. I mean, minuscule, because many of them are 300 times sweeter than sugar on an ounce-per-ounce basis.
Mmm, how sweet it is.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, let's talk a little bit about label padding. Avocado shampoo. I hear avocados are somehow restore my hair, so I run out and buy some avocado shampoo. How do they get avocados into those jars?
Well, they basically don't. My favorite is the herbal shampoos, and you look at them and you say, where are the herbs? I don't see any herbs in here at all. Avocados are a great example. I'm glad you mentioned that, because if you go out and buy guacamole dip, there is a popular brand that contains no avocados.
An avocado dip that contains no avocados?
A guacamole dip that contains no avocados. And the way they accomplish that name, they use artificial colors for the green, and they use hydrogenated soybean oil to mimic the texture of avocados. So it's a guacamole dip that's avocado-free.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll conclude, and we'll get some lasting tips from those who should know, the health ranger Mike Adams and Bill Matos from the California Poultry Association. This is the Food Chain. Do stay tuned. Well, we buy the box of cookies because the label says no trans fats. That means no trans fats, right? Wrong. What's on the cover is not necessarily what's in the box, so we've learned today. So let's talk about how to go about learning what's in the box with Michael Adams, a health ranger from Consumer Wellness Center. And your website is newstarget.com, right, Mike?
That's correct, Michael.
And also Bill Matos, California Poultry Federation. How do we get in touch with you, Bill?
Well, we have a website. It's cpif.org. They can look at that website. We have access to consumer information, phone numbers, particularly as we get closer to Thanksgiving. They may want to know how to cook their turkeys. And so we have a lot of information about that.
Good. Well, let's start with thing number one, is that we ignore what's on the front of the package. Is that fairly well true? It sounds like it's a good idea from what we've learned about the 100% natural chickens and everything else. Mike, is that a good idea to take what's on the front of the cover with a grain of salt, as it were?
Be a skeptical consumer, in your case, with a grain of salt and injected water with the chicken.
With a grain of salt and a gallon of water, yeah.
Yeah. Watch out for these words, like enhanced or...
Okay. So let's turn the package over and let's go to the ingredients label. And how does an ingredients label work? What is in there most is on the label first?
That's correct. It has to be listed in order of its prominence in the product by volume.
Okay, and that does not necessarily mean it true, because they can take sugars, for example, and use five different kinds of sugars in much smaller amounts and put them way down on the list.
That's right, and they can also use different terms. For example, monosodium glutamate, MSG, is often found in smaller amounts than other ingredients, such as yeast extract or hydrolyzed vegetable protein. So you have to know what terms are used by the industry to sort of disguise certain ingredients.
Okay, so you have to educate yourself then about some of these terms that we might not know about. Like, for example, sodium nitrite might sound okay, but it's not, is it?
No, it's not. It's a very potent carcinogenic substance. It's directly linked to pancreatic cancer, colon cancer. A very, very dangerous ingredient that the USDA tried to ban from food in the 70s, but industry was powerful enough to keep that in the food supply.
Okay, and then what you do is you get out your microscope and you look way down at the bottom of a label for what?
Well, you're looking for a short ingredient list. The shorter, the better. You don't want to see a lot of chemical names in there that you can't pronounce and don't understand. If it looks like a chemistry lesson, you probably shouldn't eat it. Eat things that you recognize, like chicken. in the case of your other guest here, you want something that just has chicken in it.
Chicken.
And not a lot of chemistry. So that's one tip.
Okay, Bill, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think you need to look for the word. The big thing in the chicken industry right now is to look for that word enhanced.
Enhanced.
Go, whenever you're into your supermarkets, look at the package of chicken, see if it's in tiny letters and says enhanced. And if you want to buy it with more water and salt and pay for it, then that's up to you. But make sure you look.
Make sure you're looking for the word enhanced. Anything else, Mike? What else were you looking for?
Well, yeah, also when you're buying products made out of wheat, watch out for the word enriched, because much like enhanced in the chicken industry, enriched in the wheat industry means that there have been very small levels of nutrients added back to a wheat product that has been milled and stripped of its original nutrition. So enriched is actually inferior.
Okay, good. Mike Adams, Health Ranger, Bill Matos, California Poultry Association, thanks for tuning in. Tune in next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on the Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.